And we're going to continue also today in our series that we started, Who is the Son? We just concluded a few weeks ago a series on Who is the Holy Spirit? And now we're going to start a new series last weekend. For those of you who were not here, we started a new series called Who is the Son? And we know what's coming next, don't we? Who is the Father? So we're talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so we're establishing this fact that we are to have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. We establish that fact that He has many gifts for us that He wants to use and bless our life, directing us every day. And now we're looking at the Son and this relationship with the Son. Last week we talked about Jesus the carpenter. Today we're going to talk about Jesus the shepherd. Jesus the shepherd. And so today as we look at this, last week we talked about the carpenter. We looked at the realness of who Jesus was. We looked at that He came and He spent, we had 3 years of public ministry, but He had a lot more longer time than that as a carpenter. 18 years is what we believe to be approximately the time that He'd have been a carpenter before He went into full-time ministry. And so we see that He understands our needs. He understands our wants. He understands our hurts, our rejections. He understands our problems. He understands our temptations. He understands the things that we're going through in relationships, in our health. He understands pain. And we have to realize that, yes, He is fully God, but yes, He is also fully man. And we looked at that part of the human nature, because as we relate to our high priest, as we pray to Him and we talk to Him, we can do this with confidence of knowing that He understands. That He understands where I'm going through and what I'm doing and the problems that I have. They're not irrelevant to Him, but He understands our problems in a very personal way. We looked at last week that He says He was tempted in every area we are. He didn't sin, but He did face the same temptations. And He understands what it is to have demons trying to attack you from every direction in your life. He understands what it means to have those who hurt you the most. And so we are developing this relationship of talking to our God and developing this everyday relationship that allows us to expand beyond a Sunday morning experience with Jesus to an everyday lifestyle that should be led of His Spirit. That we are talking with Him and we're being led by Him. We're praying to Him, studying who He is. So today we're going to talk about this thought, Jesus the Shepherd. The Bible depicts church as basically three different areas in the Bible we see where the church is talked about. First of all, we're talked about as a family of God, the family of God, and it talks about our relationships together. Now, as I'm talking about relationships, let me tell you that next week we'll be talking more about our small groups. They'll be kicking off next Sunday night, and so we have those kicking off. We'll have a brochure next week, and we'll also be hearing from our small group directors. And so many times you've been asking when they're starting up, that's next Sunday night. We'll have a full brochure next week telling you about some places where you can go be involved in relationships and some home groups where you can be involved in that Bible study, building relationships with other families. But we see where the Bible talks about family relationships. It talks about fellowship when it comes to our relationship with each other. It talks about fellowship and unity, that we learn to unify, that we don't allow petty things to keep us separated from fellowship. We don't allow petty problems, petty hang-ups, things that happen to keep us from fellowship. We should be fellowshipping one with another. But it spends most of the time describing the church as a flock. Most of Scripture, when it talks about the church and talks about us as Christians, we're described as sheep. We're described as the flock, and that's us. Look what Psalms 100 and verse 3 says. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His what? We are His people. The what? The sheep of His pasture. And so we see where we are many times referred to as sheep in the Bible. Look what Psalms 10, look what it says here. It should be John 10, I'm sorry, I wrote that wrong. John 10. It says, a thief comes only to steal. Who's the thief? Who's the thief? Who's the thief? Satan? It says Satan. It says Satan, the thief, comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. It's a Satan's row. Sounds kind of like a wolf, doesn't it? The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and I may have it to the fullest. I am the good shepherd. That's what He says. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. He calls Himself a shepherd again. I know my sheep. That's us. He says, I know my sheep, and my sheep, that's us, know me. We are called the sheep, and He is called the good shepherd in our relationship. This is what Jesus is saying, that His relationship with you and I is that He is the relationship of a good shepherd, and our relationship is a good sheep. And so today I want to look at this. I mean, I think there's no better passage that really talks about the good shepherd and talks about a shepherd's role in our life than Psalms, the 23rd Psalm. We've heard this read many times. And so I want us all to read this together. If you can read this up here, let's all read this out loud together, can we? Let's just start together. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the 23rd Psalm, and I believe it really paints to us the picture of the shepherd in our life, the picture of the shepherd that God is wanting us to receive here, his relationship with you and I. And so there's three things we see in this that the shepherd does. The good shepherd does three things. Let's talk about these things right out of the scripture, verse by verse. First of all, we see the shepherd does what? The shepherd provides. The good shepherd provides. The verse 1 says, I shall not want. I shall not want. What's that mean? I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It basically means this. I shall not lack for anything that I need. I shall not lack for anything that I need. If you believe today that you are the provider, then you will live in fear. If you believe today that I am the provider, that everything depends on me solely to be provided that I need in my life, then you're going to live your life gripped with fear. You're going to live your life gripped with fear because you're going to be thinking, well, if the economy's bad, am I going to lose my job? Or if this happening, what's going to happen? If this happens, how's it going to affect me? And so all these things that affect because I am the provider, they affect me, and I will live my life in fear because I'm always wondering, can I provide what I need? And so this view of the good shepherd is this, that he is our provider. He is the provider, and my trust is in him, knowing that no matter how difficult my situation may be, no matter how difficult things I go through, God is my source. God is my provider, and he was not going to let me go. He's not going to let me go and be destroyed, and I'm going to wither away, man. No, he's going to take care of me. He's going to make sure that my basic needs are met. He's going to make sure that he is watching over me, and so I have to realize that the good shepherd provides. Jesus is our provider. The good shepherd doesn't always give us what we want, but he always gives us what we need. A good shepherd doesn't always give us what we want, but he always gives us what we need. It's like this. He doesn't always take us where we want to go, but he always takes us where we need to go. There's a difference, isn't there? And we had this view of, God, you didn't give me what I want. God, you didn't take me where my vision led me. Think about that statement. You didn't take me where I wanted to go. God, you didn't lead me where I wanted to go. No, it's the role of the shepherd that sheep follow the shepherd. And so it's my job to say, God, you're going to take me where I need to go. God, you're going to give me the things that I need in my life. And maybe I'm going to go through a difficult situation in my life. And if I do, God, I'm going to use that to come out to good because you are using that to change things in my spirit. You're using that to teach me some principles. You're using that to change who I am. So how does he do this as provider? Well, first of all, he provides contentment. Contentment. Verse 2 says that he leads us to where? To green pastures. What's green pastures represent? What would shepherds take the sheep to green pastures? They would take them there to eat. That's where they went to eat. So the shepherds would lead the sheep to green pastures so they could feed and get what they need. That represents God's word in our life. He says that his word, man, his word is the living bread. This is it right here. He brings us to his word to feed us, to feed my spirit, man, to feed my heart, to feed my soul, to feed my mind. He leads me to green pastures to feed me. He brings contentment in my life. Contentment that I know that I can be led of God and fed of God. It says he leads me beside the still waters. That's what still waters represent. Represents peace, that he brings peace to my life, that even though I may be being chased after by many enemies, as David was during this time, that there's a place of still waters that I can find. There's a place of peace that I can find. There's a place that in my storm that God's got his hand on me. That even though I know the battle's still going on, that it's okay because God's got his hand upon me. We see where he provides contentment, but he also brings and provides restoration. It says he restores my soul. He restores my soul. How many know our souls need to be restored? Have you ever heard someone say, man, I was just crushed when this happened. When this happened, it crushed me. It changed me. It hurt me so bad. It scarred me. And we use all these different phrases when we go through problems in our life that we feel like we were just crushed. And what are we talking about? We're not talking about our physical body, but we're talking about our spirit man. And something happened to our spirit man when we went through things that just crushed us. Things that just totally shook us at the core of our foundation. Things that happened that, man, they really destroyed our spirit. They really just brought a heaviness to us. This is what this word restore means, that he comes, the good shepherd will restore to us. What's he mean by restore? It means that he will repair, that he repaired. Even more than repaired, this word actually translates out to mean this, that he will return us to the place that we were left off the road, that we're going along life, things are fine, and then something happens and it distracts us, and we are bridged over here, crushed in our spirit, and we're damaged, we're handicapped in our spirit right here. And he says that the good shepherd comes and he heals us, and he brings us back and he restores us back to where we were. Isn't that amazing? That our shepherd loves us that much, that he provides contentment, but he also provides restoration, that he restores our hearts back. If your heart's destroyed this morning, if your spirit's just crushed this morning, I say that there is good news. That as long as you put your faith in the good shepherd, there will come a time of restoration. There will come a time that your spirit is restored, that your heart is restored when you put your trust in the good shepherd. When you put our trust in Jesus, our heart is restored. He brings what else? He provides guidance. He provides guidance. Verse 3 says, he leads me. He leads me. He leads me in paths of righteousness. What's that mean? He is leading me, giving me guidance. I read a story of a minister who just got out of seminary, and before he started his full-time ministry, he went and he just went to Jerusalem. And he said, you know what, I'm going to work there. He went to some shepherds and said, hey, I just want to spend some time working here with you. I'll work for free, but just feed me and give me a place to stay. But I just want to soak in and learn everything there is about being a good shepherd. And he made some observations that he wrote about and some things he made some observations about professional sheep herders and those who are shepherds. And one of the things that he wrote about that was so unique was that they would lead their sheep to the green pastures or to the waters. And they would have these great lakes there and these places where all the shepherds would bring all their sheep to the same place. He said, literally, when he got there, there'd be lots and lots of shepherds there. And there would be 10,000 sheep on the same pasture. Now, think about this. Many shepherds, 10,000 sheep. How many know that sounds like chaos to you? Doesn't that sound like chaos to me? I mean, where's my herd? Where's my sheep? No, that one's mine. No, this one's mine. There was none of that going on. There was nobody fighting over whose sheep they were. These shepherds would go along and said they would get together and they would all get in the middle and they would talk and laugh and share stories and joke and play around. And then the sheep would just be eating and drinking, restoring themselves. And then when one would say, you know what, it's about time for me to get back, he would get up and he would holler, oh, something like that. Oh, whatever the sheep call is, I don't know for sure. I did watch National Geographic one time, never doing that. Whoa! Haven't you ever heard a sheep call? Do you know what a sheep call is? Let me tell you what sheep call is. Here, sheep, 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 sheep. I'm just playing. You've heard that joke. Okay. But they would call out, and it says that when he would call out, he would just call out and go, oh, and he'd take off walking. And no matter where his sheep were, that they would find him and follow him. And then pretty soon later, the others, well, it's about time for me to get home. And he'd call out, oh. And the sheep would gather from around wherever they were, and they'd follow that shepherd back to his house. He said, one by one, they would do this until the last one was left, and he would do the same thing, and it would go. Now, in our heart, we'd be thinking, there had to be a few sheep get lost here. I mean, there's no way. But he said there's something that he found out, that sheep don't follow sheep. They only follow the shepherd. Now, some of you, this is worth your weight in gold being here this morning, just to hear this one statement. Sheep do not follow sheep. They only follow the shepherd. And it's the Lord, good shepherd, who leads us and he guides us. Now, sheep, we're not ever called to follow sheep. That's why if we put our trust in men, that eventually we get hurt. Because men, why? They're just other sheep as well. And even though God uses us and people use people, you're going to get hurt along the way. And people are going to make mistakes. And things are going to happen. And it's going to destroy you. But I have got to put my trust not in man. I've got to put my trust in the good shepherd. He's the one who leads me ultimately. He's the one who is guiding me. He's the one who is calling me out. And so my trust and guidance is that the shepherd provides guidance in my life. We see the second part of this is that the shepherd protects. He also protects. The good shepherd protects. Verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil." You know, I believe today that it's an insult as a Christian today. It's an insult to God when we fear. Now, I know as natural human beings, we have things that we can very easily get fearful about. We can get butterflies. We can get nervous about things. But when we constantly live in fear in our life, we are pretty much saying, "God, I don't trust you. God, I don't believe you're big enough to handle my problem. God, I don't believe you can guide me." And so God has never called us to live our life in fear. Let me say it again, because some of you need to hear it today, because you struggle with this in a great way. You are constantly living your life in fear. And he says, as sheep, we were never called to live this way. He says that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We are controlled by our fear. We allow fear to control us and grip us. He is calling us not to be controlled by this, but to let him lead us. He says, "I walk through the valley of death." That means even our darkest times in our life, when things are killed off and things that we thought would work out and come to life and fruition in our life, when those things didn't take life and they just fizzled out, we have big disappointments. When we go through things in our life, even when I go through times when it seems so dark, he says, "I am not to fear because the Lord is with us." So how do we do this? First of all, we see that, A, he is with us in the battle. He is with us in the battle. Verse 4 is, "For you are with me." You are with me. "For you are with me." How many know the wolves are not afraid of sheep? You ever watch this? I don't know if anyone ever watches Animal Planet, okay? Or National Geographic. You've seen these documentaries, you've seen these films. We know that wolves are never afraid of sheep. I mean, a sheep, it doesn't make them, it's not going to hurt them. He knows that. Well, what is the wolf afraid of? He's afraid of the what? The shepherd. Because why? He knows the shepherd can hurt him. He knows the shepherd's going to inflict pain on him. He knows if he's not very careful, the shepherd will whop him up. He said, Your rod, it protects me. How many know the rod was never what? He says this. He says, "Your rod protects me." The rod was never meant for the sheep. The shepherd's rod was never meant for the sheep. We think he's carrying that rod so he can just prodded along the sheep. That's our natural tendency. Because in our mind, we got herders, you know, cattle herders in our brain. And we're thinking about driving out. Listen, you don't drive out sheep. They can't be herded. They follow. They follow. And the rod was never meant to prod the sheep. The rod was always meant to keep back the wolves, to hit the wolves, to protect against the wolves. And so we see that he is with us in our battle. His rod is for protection against us, that helps us. His rod protects us. Look what B says. He blesses us in the battle. He blesses us not only there by being with us, but he also blesses us in the battle. Verse 5 is very clear. He says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." And I think this is very, very good insight here as we realize what kind of shepherd we have. And many times as we're going through a battle, we want God just to stop the battle, don't we? And it's not what God always does is always stop the battle. According to Scripture, is that he will prepare a table before us in the middle of our battle. In the middle of our enemies, he prepares a table. In the middle of our enemies, he brings us a table. And we dine with him. What's that mean? That means that he is with us there. He is leading us. That he sits with us. And he's feeding us. And he's blessing us. That even when we're in battle, even when we're going through things that seem like there's no answer, that he is with us. And he can even bless us through our battle. It's even when we are going through tough times that God can bless us the most. Many times he chooses to bless us during the battle. And see, he refreshes us in the battle. He refreshes us in the battle. Verse 5 says, you anoint my head with oil. When we hear this word, anoint with oil, this is a representation of a refreshing of his Holy Spirit, his blessing upon us. Those who were anointed were blessed, that he would pour oil over those who were chosen to be anointed, to be blessed. It was a time also symbolic of the Holy Spirit, that he refreshes us with his Holy Spirit in the battle. He said, you anoint my head with oil. The Good Shepherd also proclaims. Thirdly, he proclaims. Look what verse 6 says. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So he proclaims what? What does the Good Shepherd proclaim in my life? He proclaims three things. He proclaims goodness. He proclaims goodness in my life. He proclaims mercy in my life. Goodness and mercy. I will tell you, this is such an awesome thing that when we learn this, that the Good Shepherd is proclaiming goodness in my life. He's proclaiming mercy in my life. How many need mercy in your life? Anybody need mercy? We need mercy, don't we? We need mercy in our life. And it says that they shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Some of you see me use this illustration. Let's do it again. I think it's a good illustration. Come here, Carlos. You and Justin, want to give me a hand here this morning? You want to be goodness or mercy?
I'm always goodness.
Okay, he's always goodness. And here's mercy. You guys just follow me wherever I go this morning. So that means no matter where I go in my life, and no matter what things I'm struggling with, as I go through things in my life, who's behind me? Tell me, who's behind me? Goodness and mercy. I get to this mountaintop, I get over here, and I start going through a valley, and I stumble along the way. What's wrong? Who's with me? All right. I go along, and I mess up here, and I've blown it. I need what? I go along here, things happen in my family that make no sense to me at all. I cannot make it on my own, and I fall. Who's with me? Goodness and mercy. I go through this valley here, and things in my life do not seem like they should. Who's with me? I go to the doctor's office, and he tells me a report I don't like to hear. Who's with me? I go home today, and my spouse tells me something I don't want to hear. Who's with me? I go home and check the Chiefs score today. What's going to happen? Who's with me? Thanks, guys. You're getting the picture here that in my life, the Good Shepherd says that goodness and mercy follow me everywhere. As a Christian, that God's goodness and mercy follow me everywhere. And in our heart and our mind, we had this picture of God's judgment follow me everywhere, that God's waiting to pound me in the head every time I even have a bad thought in my mind or every time I even are tempted. He said, no, he was tempted as us, and goodness and mercy shall follow me. That means when Satan places things in my way that are meant to destroy me, that are meant to bring me down, that it's okay. Because why? Because goodness is right behind me. And even though I may go through some badness in my life and it seems like it's a bad time, it's all right because goodness is waiting to pick me up. And mercy is going to wrap its arms around me and says, you can make it. You can do it. It's okay. Because the Good Shepherd is what? He's picking me up and says, look at the Good Shepherd. He is guiding me. He is leading me. And as I listen, what happens? He is speaking. And the sheep do what? They follow his voice. Sheep don't follow sheep. Sheep follow the shepherd's voice. They're led. This is why it's so important. Then if this is so important, why don't we have a relationship with God that's personal? If he's speaking, then I've got to be listening. Because I've got to know where he's leading me. I've got to know that he's guiding me. I've got to know that he's speaking to me. It's very clear that we will hear his voice if we will listen. Well, Pastor, I tried listening and I just didn't hear anything. really. I never met anybody who could really honestly say that and really mean it. Because we all know if we really will tune in, the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us. Well, is it going to be wrote on the wall? No, but in your heart, you're going to know things to do. You get up and say, Holy Spirit, what am I going to do today? Lead me today. And you go to work, and the person that just ticked you off the day before and you're ready to go in and let them know what, he says, hey, just walk in with the spirit of forgiveness today and just be quiet. Just smile at them, and you're like, what? That's who's speaking? That must be the pizza last night talking about me. No, that's the Spirit. God is leading me. And you come in, you smile at that person and say, you know what? I want you to have a great day today. If I need anything to help you, just let my office know. We'll help you. You go back, and you're like, I can't believe this person did that. But you showed what? Goodness and mercy to them, because who came beside you? Goodness and mercy. And what happens in the afternoon? Your boss comes to you and says, hey, I saw the way you handled the situation. I want you to know I really appreciate that. You just show me a person who knows how to walk with integrity. You just show me your person who I can trust in this company. Who led me to do that? It wasn't my own insight. That wasn't my own nature. That was God's voice leading. God's voice will lead us every day. It will lead us. He is speaking. I cannot make it very more clear than this. He is speaking every day. But we got to tune in. How do we tune in? We got to tune other things off. I can't be talking on my Bluetooth, have the radio blasting, you know. Hopefully you're not texting. I'm doing all these things at the same time and think God's going to lead me and speak to me. No, I've got to tune things off so I can tune things in. You need to have some times when you're tuning in, listening to the voice of God, listening to Him as He's leading us. He is the good shepherd, and He is bringing these things to our life. And the last thing He proclaims, not only He proclaims goodness, He proclaims mercy, but He also proclaims what? He says, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's reminding us that eternal life is with Him. Yes, this life is full of disappointments. Yes, this life is full of things we do not understand. But there comes a day that we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord. And in the house of the Lord, there is no more suffering. There is no more pain. There is no more sorrow. There are no more tears. The only tears that will be shed there are tears of joy. So there comes a day. He proclaims His goodness on my life. He proclaims His mercy, because He knows we're going to need mercy. He knows we're going to need God's goodness. But He also reminds us, the good shepherd says, listen to my voice, because there's going to come a day when you're going to dwell in my house forever. There's going to come a day when these things you're struggling with, they won't be struggles no longer. There's going to come a day that the tears you're shedding today will dry up. Because these things shall pass, and you shall spend eternity in the house of the Lord. What a great promise from our shepherd. You know, the last thing that Jesus said to Peter before He ascended to heaven, He said, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. He said, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. His concern was always about the sheep. Jesus' concern was always about the sheep, to the point where He even made that clear to Peter. Peter, take care of my sheep. If you love me, take care of them. Last week we talked about how the shepherd became a sheep. That's what we talked about last week, how our great shepherd became a sheep. And so He knows what it is to live a life as a sheep. He knows what it is to live our life the way we walk and talk and to go through things we go through and struggles in our life. And He can understand, He can relate to us, because this good shepherd became a sheep. He knows what it is to be a sheep. And Isaiah 53:7 says, He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. That's what Isaiah said in 53:7. He was led as a lamb. Talking about Jesus. Call Him the Lamb of God. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He was slaughtered so that you and I don't have to be slaughtered. The good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. We know that He's already done this. That He's already paid the price. He's already given Himself up in our place as a sacrifice. Now all we have to do is trust Him and believe in Him. Follow Him. That is our role now, is to follow the Good Shepherd, because He's already paid the price. And so as I confess my sin to Him and I ask Him to be Lord of my life, when I ask Him to be Lord of my life, I'm simply saying, God, I want to be led by You the rest of my life. I want You to become my Good Shepherd, who speaks over me, who protects me. who brings me goodness and mercy, who brings me rest and peace and contentment, who brings me in the midst of my battle. He sets a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and he blesses me. And he anoints my head with oil. He pours out his Holy Spirit in my life and gives me fresh touch of his Spirit. And so my job now is simply what? To follow the voice of the shepherd. That's the relationship that Jesus has with us. This is the relationship that he wants. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Today, if you're here and you say, Pastor, you're talking about the good shepherd. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I've been following sheep, some good sheep, some bad sheep. Either way, man, I've been following other people in my life, and I have not been following the voice of the good shepherd. And today, I want to come back and be a part of the flock, what's called the family of God. I want to ask Jesus Christ to forgive me my sins. I want to come back and be in right relationship with him. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, making him the good shepherd of my life, that I can walk in the things you're talking about today. I need God's mercy. It's not about me changing and then coming to God. It's about me coming to him. And one of the good things about being a sheep was this, that we know the sheep had a lot of nasty things attached to them. There was a good shepherd who cleaned the sheep up. There was a good shepherd who maintained the sheep. And many times in our life, we try to change, think, I've got to change who I am. I've got to change the person I am before I can come to the good shepherd. No, you'll never be good enough. I'll never be good enough. The question is this, that we have to come to him just as we are and say, I'm going to follow after you and allow you to change me. I'm going to allow you to guide me and lead me. So today, when nobody's looking around, I'm going to ask you this question. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I'm ready today to follow the good shepherd. I'm ready today to give my life to Jesus. I want to pray that prayer. No, I would not embarrass you in any way. Nobody's looking around. But today, if you're ready, say, I'm ready today to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, can you raise your hands where you're at and say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to make that decision. I'm ready. Thank you. Anybody else today you want to join? Thank you. Anybody else today you want to join these people who are raising their hands? Say, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm tired of trying to change my person who I am now. I'm ready to come just like I am to God. I'm ready to follow after good shepherd. One more time, if that's you today, can you raise your hand? I want to give you that chance. Say, I'm ready, Pastor, I'm ready. Today, we had a few people who raised their hands, so let's say this prayer. Can we do it together? I'm going to ask that we all repeat it together, especially those today who raised your hands. Let's repeat it and mean it from our heart. Father, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I confess you as Lord of my life. I give you everything I am. All of my dreams, all of my hurt, all of my sin, I give it to you. Today, I will live for you. I want to hear your voice, and I want to follow it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we say welcome to the family of God. If you meant that prayer, welcome to the family of God. It's important today, if you raise your hand today, to realize this, that this is only the beginning. It's not the end. It's only the beginning of a new relationship that God's wanting to have with you. This voice that he's speaking of the good shepherd. It's only the beginning today. And so you need to get around. We talked about following the shepherd. Now, God puts shepherds in our lives here, and we call them pastors and leaders, people who are leading groups of sheep. He signs in the body. He talks about us as pastors, as shepherds, and leaders as shepherds, as we're leading people in small groups and ministries. It's important that only you follow God as our good shepherd, but you also get with some other shepherds that God has designated to be with us and to help us, that you get people that can come along beside you and love you and teach you about God's word. Before you leave today, we got a special packet in the back. It's got a new Bible and some other things in there, just tell you what to do next. So make sure you stop by in the very back and pick one of those up. It's special for you today. Well, I'm going to invite you to stand today, every one of us, as we close out this prayer today. How many today say, Pastor, I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to listen. I need to do a better job of tuning in to the Good Shepherd. Anybody here today want to admit, say, Pastor, I'm ready to, I got to get focused, man. I got to turn off my internet sometimes. And I got to turn off the radio and all these other things. And I got to learn to spend some quality time tuning in to the shepherd so I can be led. I can be led. And today, I'm going to depend upon the good shepherd to lead me. Anybody here? That's me? Yeah. Several hands. Let's pray this prayer together. Father, we thank you that you are our good shepherd. We thank you that you are leading us, guiding us. We thank you today, God, that your voice is directing your sheep. So it's our job to hear your voice and to follow that. So I pray that, Lord, our hearts would not be led just on a Sunday. We all hear your voice speaking this morning. But God, the true test will come tomorrow when we get up. That God, will your voice speak and will we answer and will we follow? So I pray that, Father, as we get up tomorrow morning and we say, good morning, Holy Spirit. That we say, where are you leading me today? What are you guiding me today? That I hear your voice and that I'm obedient to follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. And as we learn to do this on a daily basis, that is changing my relationship with you. It's growing me, making me stronger in my faith, making me a stronger person who can be used of you in a great way. Using, opening myself up to all the gifts that you have for me in my life. I'm developing my prayer language. I'm developing the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to me. I'm developing things that he has for my life. And I want to receive all these things to the fullest. And God, I pray right now through the power of your Holy Spirit that God, you would open up our eyes, open up our hearts and our ears to hear. You said, let those who have ears, let them hear. So God, I pray that our spiritual ears are open in Jesus' name. And I pray that, Father, as we open up our spiritual ears, that God, you are speaking to us and help us to be obedient to where you're leading us and guiding us. And we say together, amen. Amen. God bless you today. We'll see you Wednesday night. Those of you who can make it, you have a great day.